If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. That's in the New Testament. You'd be surprised how many people don't know where Colossians is. Colossae. My assignment this week is to preach on overflow in several different ways of receiving and declaring overflow. How many of you need some overflow? Well, yesterday I preached, let me give you the title of it. If you wasn't, you need to get the tape or CD, whatever. I preached on overflow, the abundance producing power of expecting great things. In other words, if you're not expecting, you'll not birth. You'll not receive. Today I want to do it in a different manner. And we're going to go to overflow, reaping the results of heavenly affection. Or you could say part two or part deux. You know, somehow they say that, glory to God. Colossians chapter 3. I want to start reading with verse 1. The Bible reads in the King James Version, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." It says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." That doesn't mean you cannot have things. You can have anything you want. That's no problem with the Lord. But your affection must always be upon Him and things of above. I've always said this, obedience will always bring a manifestation. So I want to deal with overflow in this part, part two, on reaping the results of heavenly affection. I find if you put God first in your life, He will always put you first. It's amazing to me, the children that really bless, that obey their parents, people think they seem to like them more. No, you know, there's no preference there. But it's wonderful when you have a child and when you tell them to do something, they go do it. It's just such a blessing. You always want to bless them, you know. Things like, I never forget years ago when I was a little boy, my daddy never gave us nothing. I mean, he loved, but he didn't give us nothing. Just make us work, you know. I'd say, "Hey, Dad, can I get this? Go get a job, boy. Cut some grass. Do something." You know, and I always did it. But I never forget when I grew up and I had my daughter, Jody. I never forget that she went, of course now, you know, she's a full grown woman. But when she was 4 or 5 years old, mom and my mother and father would come over. And when daddy said, "Come here, Jody, let's see what Paw got for Jody." I said, "Jody, this is not the man I was raised with. This is an old man trying to get to heaven now. Glory to God." I said, "Why don't you tell her to get a job, daddy?" He said, "Shut up, Jesse." Praise God. She's the grandchild. Hallelujah. So I want to deal today with overflow, reaping the results of heavenly affection. Now write this down if you're taking notes. The things on the earth are a blessing, but they shouldn't have your affection. See, there are a lot of people, I think they misunderstand the prosperity message. They think it's a money message or a thing message when it's an obedience message. I've said it so many times. When you obey, God blesses you. The manifestation of obedience is money. The manifestation of obedience is healing. The manifestation of obedience is salvation. When you obey, and I'm going to keep saying that probably all week, God blesses you. If your children obey you, you bless them. Because you see, obedience always brings a smile, always brings a warmness in someone because you know they're doing what they're supposed to do. Now, how many of y'all want overflow? Come on, hold your hand up here. Glory to God. Spiritually, physically, financially. Now, let me make some preachers mad. God don't mind you having a new car as long as your affection's not upon it. But the affection should be on the person that gave it to you or the Lord Jesus Christ that manifested that in your life because of your obedience to Him. Now, I use the car because that's what people cue into, you know, spiritual, physical, or financial things. How many of you like to have a new home? Hold your hand up. Come on, be honest. How'd you like to have paid for? How about a big house? There ain't nothing wrong with that because nowhere in the scripture can I find small homes. I find in heaven, He said, "In my Father's house." In my Father's house are many, what? Say it a little louder. Stand up, look at the camera and say it. That'd be good. Say it, come on. Mansions. Now, some people say, "I don't believe that." Well, either you lying or God lying, I pick you. Because God's not man that He can lie. So, the things on this earth are a blessing, but they shouldn't have your affection. In other words, God has blessed me spiritually, physically, financially. God's been gracious to me. But you know what? Everything I have belongs to the Lord. He might require it of me. Now, you know, I had a man ask me, he said, "But Jesse, if God told you to give your house away, would you do it?" Yeah. Do I want to? No. Why? Because I like my house. But I ain't going to hell over a house. Because, see, that would be disobedience. You know, it don't take many letters to change something to completely opposite. Obedience to disobedience. Promise to compromise. Or .com, however you want to put it. All you got to do is put a C-O-M on a promise and it becomes a compromise. All you got to do is put a D-I-S on an obedience and it becomes disobedience. All God ever required of us, it was that we would obey him in all that we set our hand to do. And you know, he doesn't require a lot of big things. A lot of people think it does. He just says, be ye holy for I am holy. You know, you can't be perfect in a moment because that takes time, but you can be holy in a moment. You can when you say, Lord, I walk in the holiness of who you are today. And it's amazing. So when you understand this, he says, set your affection on things above. People always ask me, or if they'll say something, they see something I have, they say, oh, but just, that's really nice. I say, isn't the Lord good? Come see what God did for me. Oh, the Lord bless me. Years ago, I had a wonderful, wonderful motorcycle given to me. It was a 2003 100-year anniversary edition Harley Davidson. Oh, Lord. Road King gunmetal blue chrome motor. It goes in the rapture, it does. It just. And every time people see it, they say, whoa, that's a beautiful motor. I said, look what the Lord hath done. They go, who did? I said, the Lord gave me that. He's got a dealership? Oh, yeah. He got a lot of dealerships. Glory to God. But you know what? There's no way I could have got that, but the Lord just decided to do it. Now, I sowed a seed. And God gave me a harvest. You understand what I'm saying? But you know what? I sowed the seed and I know how to receive. But I was just so glad. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It didn't say it was more pleasant or natural. You see? But it is more blessed or more empowered to prosper. But a lot of times it isn't more pleasant or natural. But you're not a natural man because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. You receive the things of God. You see what I'm saying? So God began to bless it, but yet my affection is not on that thing, even though I like it. My affection is on the person that gave it to me, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ through an individual. Isn't that a blessing of God? And everything I have, you know, when people say, boy, that's enough. Boy, the Lord been good to Jesse. In fact, I have an airplane. People get mad about that, but that's what I need to preach the gospel. And if you walk in my airplane, there's a big sign. I mean, the first thing you see is, God been good to Jesse. I mean, it's on the wall. You go, whoa, look at that. And why? Because I will never forget what the Lord has done for me. See, that's setting your affection on things above. So when you do that, then overflow begins to come. Now, write this down if you're taking notes. Focusing on the kingdom automatically produces overflow on the earth. Notice the word focusing. If you focus on your priority, you eliminate your confusion. You ought to write that down. Focus on your priority. Forget about all this other stuff. It'll eliminate all that other confusion. You focus on what you need, desire, want, whatever, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, or what you want to do for God. Focus is a primary ingredient in understanding how to receive overflow. So focusing on the kingdom automatically produces overflow in the earth. Godly overflow comes only where Christ is present. Luke chapter 12, if you want to turn to it, you can. Verse 31, I'll read it to you. Luke 12, verse 31 says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these what things shall be added unto you. So God is not in, they don't get all bent out of shape if you got some things. Like you've always heard, but as long as things don't have you. See what I'm saying? So, but when you focus on that, you're just able to be a blessing. I'll give you a prime example around Christmas. How many of your grandparents? Anybody in here grandparents? Okay, you're going to start shopping for your grandkids. What happened? You start focusing. You are back and think of each grandchild that you got and their personality, what they would like and what they won't like. And you start focusing and you want to find something that they like. It don't have to be expensive. You know, a lot of people think a gift has to be expensive. My daughter told me the other day, she said, Daddy, you the hardest man to buy for. I said, I'm the easiest man to buy. Oh, Lord, Daddy, you got everything. I said, no, I don't. She said, well, what do you want? What do you want for your birthday? I said, socks. Oh, Daddy, watch this. This is her problem. Oh, Daddy, I can't give you no socks. Why? I like socks. Yeah, but Daddy, it's just socks. Yeah, I like socks. But you see, she thinks it should cost more. No, it ain't got anything with the cost. It all has to do with, you know, just saying, Daddy, I love you. It don't make no difference. I said, give me some socks. T-shirts. I like stuff like that. You know? Yeah. Oh, but I want to buy you something nice. That is nice. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You understand what I'm trying to say? But you see, a lot of people think, oh no, it's, oh, you know, because you know, you, the Lord's blessed you. Oh, we gotta, you know, you gotta go pay for, buy something really expensive. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying something expensive. That's not the issue. But my point is, this is, I'm very, very easy. It doesn't really make no difference. I'm just so glad you thought of me. It's the thought that counts, like they say. So to me, I keep my eyes because my, on overflow and by focusing on the kingdom of God, which means God's way of doing things. See, there's a vast difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is a place. The kingdom of God is a method. You gotta write that down. That'll help you. You see, a lot of people think when God's talking about the kingdom of God, or the people think that he's talking about heaven. No, no. Kingdom of heaven's a place. Kingdom of God is a method. Luke 6, I think Matthew 6, 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you look at an amplified Bible, it says, parentheses, God's way of doing things. That's the kingdom of God. It's his way of doing things. Kingdom of heaven being a method. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven being a place. Kingdom of God being a method. And when you understand the two, then you get rid of a lot of confusion in your life. So overflow is reaping the results of heavenly affection. And people, I had one man tell me that long ago. He said, your God is so good to you. It was like reading out of the Old Testament. I said, well, the reason why, because we're good to each other. So focusing on the kingdom automatically produces overflow on the earth. Godly overflow comes only where Christ is present. Luke 12, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you realize that I don't really have to ask the Lord for things, even though I do. But sometimes he requires me. He waits for me. Because in the scripture, it just says, ask of me. But you know, I'm not talking about just being fleshy. What I'm talking about is receiving overflow. Now remember this. If you can contain what God wants you to have, you're not in overflow, because overflow is always spillage. God is always more than enough. He gives you more salvation than you need. He really does, if you think about it. Even to the point, he gives you so much salvation that he puts you under an umbrella of grace. Even when you blow up, your salvation's still working. Because there's a clause in the salvation contract that says repent. If you make a mistake, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, or a lawyer to stand and take care of your case in that court of law. So salvation is greater than even your sin. Even when you're saved, if you mess up, God said, there's a clause. It's called repent. Turn from, go the other way. It didn't just say ask for forgiveness. See, a lot of people ask for forgiveness, but they never repent. Do you see that? But when you set your, in other words, I really believe this. Now, I'm not going to get some letters on this, but, you know, because I love the Lord so much, I really think if I mess up sometime, before the Holy Spirit got a chance to convict me, I'm saying I'm sorry. Because I realize how much God loves me. I do. I really do. I think, man, Lord, why do you put up with me? He said, Jess, I'm not putting up with you. I enjoy being around you. I said, you do? Yeah. I said, but Lord, I blew it today. He said, that's while I was here. How many of y'all seen The Passion of the Christ? Mel Gibson. Okay, do you remember the scene, which I thought was one of the most touching scenes, was when Jesus was a little boy playing and he fell, and Mary looked. And you see Mary just taking off to go get him, you know. That really touched Kathy. Lord Jesus, you know what I mean? And then naturally when he fell, and she says, I'm here, you know. Well, you know, you can see a mother's love is almost, well, it's almost, you can't define it. It's amazing. She can be, if you try to hurt her child, she can be 90 pounds soaking wet. She'll climb up your hairy chest and beat your brains out. You touch that kid. You touch that kid, buddy. You know, it's even in the animal kingdom. You ever notice that? Oh, you don't mess with no mama. You can't even criticize a mama. Now, you can criticize a daddy all day long. You ever notice that? You say, boy, your daddy, I don't like him. Yeah, I don't like him either. But you better not say nothing about a mama. Son, don't say nothing about mama. Because women are controlling the world. They really are. They control all the children. They do. I mean, it's amazing. They say, I carried you for 9 months in my body. Your daddy didn't want you, but I prayed for you. Okay. Okay, mama. Okay, mama. The only person who could shut down my oldest brother in my family was my mama. My daddy couldn't. But boy, mama would say, Wayne. Amazing. You know why? It's that instinct. It's that love. They'll do whatever they can to get to that child. No matter what. What is that? That's affection. It's beyond. Well, it's undefinable if you think about it, if you truly love someone. So listen to me. Focus on the kingdom automatically produces overflow on the earth. God overflows comes only where Christ is present. Why? Because you seek ye first the kingdom. Then you say this. Overflow is about, people say, well, you're just trying to get stuff. No, listen to me. Overflow is about increasing the population of heaven and creating vacancies in hell. Write that down. That'll help you. Overflow is about increasing the population of heaven and creating vacancies in hell. Hell ought to be an empty place. Hell was not even created for mankind. Hell should not be a part of your vocabulary. Yes, it's used quite often. Isn't that amazing? Really? But see, all God wants to do, he says, if I give you overflow, I'll just give you a prime example. If you are a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministry or Creflo Dollar or Jesse the Planners or Jerry Savelle, our main goal, I know these ministries, our main goal is to touch people and bring people into the kingdom of God. It's not just so we can live better. We're living good now. That's not the issue. We were living good before you knew us. That's not the issue, because God always took care of us. But our whole point is to complete our destiny and reach our destination. And you can only do that by focusing on overflow. That's why we all believe in partners. Just not so we can get more. No, so we can do more for the kingdom of God. Really, people ask me, why do you work so much? I'm going to tell you exactly why I work so much. The Bible says, I'm trying to get Jesus to come. I'm trying to shorten this thing up. You know, there's some problems on the earth. I got problems in my ministry right now with the government and all kinds of stuff. And I ain't doing anything wrong. But, you know, boy, I mean, you know, they're all coming. You know, when promotion from God brings satanic attention. Boy, you get blessed. Here come, boy. Here come all kind of people who have no power, but they can exercise some governmental power and cause you some trouble. And you're going to win anyway. That's not the issue, but it's just a hassle. But, you know, I said, Lord, when will you come? He said, when everybody hears the gospel. I said, what? You would think everybody heard the gospel, huh? But all the satellites, technology, internet, communication. The Bible says this, when the gospel's preached to the world for a witness, he didn't say they have to receive it. See, everybody thinks they got to receive it. No, witness it. The end shall come. That's why I'm working. I mean, just yesterday, the other day, I mean, I flew from New Orleans to California, preached Sunday morning, California, flew out of here, flew to San Antonio, preached Sunday night, boom, flew back and preached Monday. Now, how do you do that? You don't do it with a car. I don't care what kind of car you got. You ain't going to make it with a car. And you're not going to do it with just any jet, neither. It takes a certain kind of jet to run those things. But the reason for it, so people would come to the knowledge of Christ. People say, even my daughter said, but Daddy, you're tired. You're well, I ain't focusing on me. I'm focusing on this kingdom of God, and overflow is coming. Overflow. That's what I've set my affection on things above. Consequently, because on things above, I'm getting things below. Do you see what I'm saying? Because my affection's on things above, what are those things? Soul. Healing. Blessing. God says, bless Jesse. Do you see my point? So overflow is about increasing the population of heaven and creating vacancies in hell. Now people say, well, how do I get this overflow to start flowing? Write this down. Giving is the prescription for overflow. When God gave Jesus, it overflowed so powerful, he gave one person named Christ and got billion Christians. Now, if that's not overflow, I don't know what it is. It says about 2 billion Christians. But it all came from one Christ. Isn't that amazing? Now, buddy, I want to tell you something. God had affection on Jesus, but he thought you were worth his only begotten son. So the least I should do is live for him. So let me say it again. Giving is the prescription for overflow. Now watch this. Overflow doesn't start until a seed is given. Write that down. A lot of people think, my God, we're going to get some overflow. No. You can't withdraw no money if you don't put some in it. You can't withdraw no money out of a bank if you don't put something in there. You got to do something. Giving is the prescription of overflow. Now, I wish I would have thought, said that, but I did. I have a good friend of mine named Ron Fortune. Blessing to God, him and his wife, Pia. In fact, Pia works for me. And Ron, boy, I've been dealing with overflow. And he said, boy, Jesse, the Lord spoke to me on his job. He was working all night at this job. He said, the Lord said, Jesse, tell Jesse that giving is the prescription for overflow. Boy, it went off of me like a shotgun, because it truly is. And let me prove it to you. In St. John chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, Jesus is he's feeding the 5,000. And if you want to turn to it, you can. It's St. John 6, 10 and 11. But I'm going to just kind of paraphrase it. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Jesus is always an organizer. Have the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. Jesus is an environmentalist. Why would he put that in there? He didn't want to let you know he liked grass. Not that kind of grass. He liked grass. I ain't talking about this herb stuff. I don't get no ugly letters on that, glory to God. And the Bible says, so the men sat down in a number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. Oh, Lord. Now, here you go. What are you saying? Giving is the prescription for overflow. Here's a kid. He said, Jesus, you hungry? Jesus says, look at this boy. I'll give you my lunch. That's pretty good when a kid gives you his lunch. You know, so you can eat. Now, all the other disciples says they got a kid here with two fish and five loaves. What's that among so many? Jesus, they didn't understand that overflow was about to overflow over their heads. That they were going to have to walk down a mountain with a basket on their head. 12 baskets left over after 5,000. That's just the men. Now, you add some women and add some children. There could have been 15, 20,000 people that we don't know. Well, you can't prove that's true. You can't prove it's not. But if even at 5,000 men and one piece of fish, that's a lot of fish. That's a lot of bread. And then 12 baskets left over. See, overflow was coming. Jesus never just feed you. I had a man say, brother, a lady told me this the other day. Not a man. She said, but Jesse, I need prayer. I said, what's your problem, girl? She said, I'm gaining a little weight. I said, it's the year of overflow. Boy, she liked that. She went, ooh, thank you, Jesus. I said, it's the year of overflow. Glory to God. I said, hey, now you want to lose the weight, lose the weight. If you don't get all bent out of shape about it. Just make a decision on it. Just tell a donut no. I'm telling you, donuts talk to, Krispy Kremes talk to my wife. I'm telling you. Yeah, she liked them Krispy Kremes. I don't care for that kind of stuff, but boy, she does. I mean, she get excited when the light come on. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a light. We passed by the Krispy Kreme one time, and the light was, she said, yeah, the light's on. I thought Jesus was coming. The light was, wham! I didn't know any good. Oh, she said, a donut shop. What? The light? She said, that means they're hot. Oh, I said, okay. So I drove in there. I said, how many? She says, I'm cutting back. I want two. Now, I'm saying this because she ain't here today. Okay. She said, I'll take two. I said, okay. I said, would you like something? I said, you want something else to drink? I'll get some cold milk. I said, okay. So, you go around them windows, you know, you're driving there. I said, I had two or three cars ahead of me. So I'm sitting there waiting. Finally, when they got to me, they said, yes, sir, can I help you? I said, how many you want? She said, a dozen. I said, a dozen? I said, year of overflow. Overflow is coming. Giving is the prescription for overflow. Look what Jesus said. Jesus took the loaves. Now, he could have ate them, but his affection is on things above. Now, what affection? He knows the Father knows that those people are hungry. The Father doesn't tell Jesus to feed the children. There's a lot of things you ought to be doing that God don't have to tell you to do. If you got his spirit, you never heard the Father say, Jesus, don't eat it. Sow it. Give it. No, he took the loaves. And then he said, he gave thanks. So that told the Father that Jesus said, you knew I was hungry and you fed me. You knew I was hungry and you supplied something for me. This is all going on in the mind of Christ. But then Jesus looks, because his affection's on things, because for God so loved the world, he's got the world in front of him. He knows God loves these people, even though they don't love him. He set his affection, all of a sudden overflow start flowing. He takes it and makes it what we call a twice sown seed. He receives it from the little fella. He says, thank you, little man. And then I really believe Jesus said, Father, thank you. You knew I was a little hungry. Huh. Isn't that amazing? And it says that he gave thanks. He distributed. Not only did he contribute, he distributed. I love being a distributor and a contributor, because then you're controlling that whole thing. You know, when you're giving, that it is going for what people said it was supposed to go to. I like that, see. But, you know, to be a distribution company, you got to have some overflow. Amen. See, you can be a contributor without being a distributor. But if you're a distributor and a contributor, oh, Jesus, you want overflow. You see what I'm saying? Isn't that good stuff? I'm going to buy this tape myself. I like this. Glory to God. This is part two. Praise the Lord. Watch it. He distributed it to the disciples. He could have gave it to the children, to the people. But he said, no, boys, you need to get involved in this miracle too. Because, and you know why he gave it to them disciples? Because none of them were believing it. See, they wanted it. But you want to see something? Okay. We're going to show you something. We're going to make you work today. You weren't going to work, but bless God, we're going to make you work. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, to them that were set down, to them that were set down. Is it possible the one standing up didn't get nothing? See, the one standing up were in disobedience. He said, make the men sit down. See, a lot of things in the Bible. You know, I look for the small things in the scripture. There are great revelations in there. He distributed to them that sat down. So he's only giving overflow to people who will obey. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Oh, God, I've been waiting to preach this all week, Lord Jesus. See, and people say, how can you get an overflow out of set your affection on things above? Because, see, he distributed to those that were sitting down, and likewise of the fishes, watch this, as much as they would or as much as they could receive. So in that passage right there, and I'm going to deal with that again in another part, maybe part three, part four, before the end of the week. God's got overflow, but my God, it'll become a trickle to you if you can't receive it. And you know why you can't receive it? Let me tell you why. Fear. Fear that somebody might say you got too much. What are people going to say? They're going to say what they want anyway, brother. We ain't going to change that. You have two types of fear. Fear, watch this, that you have too much, what people will say, or fear that you don't have enough. Have you had too much month at the end of your money? Has your month ever run out, your money run out before the month did? You might have heard me say this the other day. I mean, July, let's just say this is, you know, whatever. Let's say March the 26th, and you out of money. And all of a sudden you get spiritual. You call your family and say, you know, we're fasting the rest of this month. We're going to believe God and pray a lot because you ain't got a dime to buy nothing. But notice what he did, as much as they would. Now, the reason why some people have more things, because they have the ability to receive more. They're not operating in fear and worried about what somebody might say. Now, I'm not talking about being greedy, because greedy, some of the poorest people in the world are greedy. They ain't got nothing. Greed is a part of jealousy. Let me tell you something. Because, see, they want what you got. Well, that's good. They're just envy and jealousy. It's a part of it. But so if you're not greedy now, you never will be. Listen to it. As much as they would. So don't get mad at me if I'm blessed. I'm as much as one of them would people would. So when the Lord gave me the motorcycle, I didn't go, oh, I'm not worth it. Oh, no, Jesus, I'm not worth it. I said, get out of the way. Let me sit on this thing. I'm going to anoint this man. Now, that's not being greedy. Some of y'all think I'm greedy. No, the Lord blessed me. Amen. I've said it here before. I'll say it again. Some of y'all get to heaven, you're going to have a mansion. You're going to go, no, Jesus. Can't believe. I can't have a mansion. Do you have a camper? How about a tent? And the Lord's going to say, shut up, fool. Get in the house. What do you think I built it for? You think I'm trying to mess up the neighborhood with your camper? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Overflow. Reaping the results of heavenly affection. So now watch this. Let me go to this part. The reason people doubt is because they do not understand their righteousness. See, the reason why people won't receive, they don't know if they're really in right standing with God, because all their Christian life, they move by what they feel instead of move by what they believe. Amen. Boy, it's one of the hardest habits to break is that feeling part. I don't deny these wheelchairs. I don't deny sickness. I mean, my God is here. But you have a right to walk. You have a right to do anything I can do. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 100 years. It make no difference. Thank God you have some equipment that you can come to church. That's not the issue. But the issue is you got a right. You got a right. And when people say, hey, well, don't lift their hopes up. What else do you want to lift up? You want to bury it? If I was dying of a sickness on my last breath, I'm going to slap the devil. I'm going to tell him, hey! I'm going to aggravate it. Oh, Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, I am. And I'm not denying the sickness. I'm denying its right. Amen. See, that's a lack of righteousness. And a lot of people look at you and say, well, you know, you want you to live for Jesus in this way. When all of you might want to jog. You might want to go do whatever you want to do. I don't know what you want to do. Man, California got a lot of places to shop. You might want to hit Fashion Island fast. I don't know. That's what Kathy called it, Fashion Island, you know, whatever. My point is, you have a right. But you see, the reason why a lot of people won't receive that, and a lot of people keep sicknesses all their life. You know, you can't bring it to heaven. I don't care who you are. When you die, you walking in hell, son, whether you like it or not. Some of y'all going to say, Lord, go get my wheelchair. No. Get my wheelchair. No. Yeah, but I'm doing this to be able to. No, man, none of that lie. Do you know there's no handicapped faces in heaven? You can't get a license plate of a handicap. You can't do any of that. None of that. Did he say his will be done where? In earth as it is in what? Now, what are you mad at me when I said that for? I'm just saying what Jesus said. The reason people doubt is because they do not understand their righteousness. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. Turn to it. Y'all enjoying this? Now watch this. It's in Isaiah chapter 3, or Isaiah. I like it better. The Europeans call him Isaiah. Americans say Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, King James Version says, say ye to the righteous. How many of y'all are righteous? Come on, hold your hand up. You're righteous. See, some of y'all are afraid to do that. Say ye to the righteous. When I hear that, I go, I'm here. Okay, Jesus, say it. That it shall be well with him. I'm believing that right now. We got some things going on in the courts. Glory to God, I'm saying, Jesse, you're righteous. It shall be well with you. For they who, the righteous, shall eat the what? The fruit of their what? Doings. Whose doings? They're not God doing, your doings. How many of you want overflow? Come on, listen to me. My God. God said you'll eat what you sow. But you won't eat a seed, you'll eat a harvest. Say it to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Now people get mad at me. I'm a blessed man. What does that mean to be blessed? Well, not just financially. You know, the only time I ever been in a hospital is when I was born. They slapped me. I ain't been back since. I said, I ain't going back there slapping me. Man, slap a naked baby, cruel person. Mama said, I cried. I guess so. I was in this wonderful place, warm. Everything was great. All of a sudden, I was thrust into massive amounts of light. People grabbing me, slapping me. And they started weighing me. That's an aggravating thing, huh? You ain't born 2 seconds. They want to put you on a scale. I wish a little baby be born, jump up and say, I ain't getting on that scale. Forget this weight stuff. They already planted in you. My God. What are you saying? I'm saying overflow is the right of the righteous and the destiny of the faithful. Write that down. Overflow is the right of the righteous and the destiny of the faithful. You people here in chairs today, you are destined to walk. Or whatever you may have. Maybe you can walk, but you just face the same time. Whatever. You have a right to it. You know why? Look at Jesse. I can walk. I ain't got no pain. I don't have nothing. If God don't love me more, love y'all. You have a right to that. And I will say that. I don't care how much criticism I get. Because one day we'll walk together. Amen. We may even run together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why not? Why not? You have a right. It's your destiny. So overflow is the right of the righteous. Some of y'all just want to walk. How about run? Think about that. Glory to God. You know, I was 39 years old, I entered a race in Honolulu, Hawaii, called a Diamond Head Run. I was so excited about it, you know. And my hair was gray. Now it's all white, but it was gray. You know, you could see kids say, what was that old man doing here? You know, that kind of stuff. But I won in my class. In other words, there was different age classes. I won. So, I mean, I saw the guy run. I said, and I found out how much they ran per mile, you know, what was their pace and everything. I said, I might be able to win this race. But I'd never run mountains before. Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. You talk about praying the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Pray for the rapture so you don't have to come down the mountain, all kind of stuff. Just keep going up, you know, everything. Well, I was running, and I was about ready to quit. My heart, I bet it was doing 170 beats, which was at its top, you know, for that age. Ow! And a 72-year-old man passed me up. He said, come on, young man, you can make it. Made me so mad I could spit. I said, you old fool. I start running. I passed him up. And then I saw him go, and he passed me up. See, he's trying to beat me. I'm trying to beat him. What we actually did, we wasn't in, at first I thought it was competition, but what we actually did, we helped each other. Made both of us focus not on our pain, but on the end result. not on how bad we were feeling, but on our destination. And he won in his class. And of course, his win was much better than mine because he beat everybody in the 39 to 42 year old class. We both crossed the line together. I said, my foot was first. He said, no, my arm was. I became friends with that man. What a very nice fella. See, he didn't know he was 72. I said, what made you do this? He said, I made up my mind I'm going to win. I want to win in my class. What are you saying? That's overflow, brother, when you're running like that. Overflow is the right of the righteous and the destiny of the faithful. See, you got a destiny and a destination. So when you exercise your right of righteousness or exercise your right of righteousness, how do I do that? By quoting scripture to yourself. Have you ever sat down and had a prayer meeting with yourself? How many of y'all, sometime you might have a cell group in your church or whatever, and you have your Bible study. How many of y'all have Bible studies? Oh, yeah. Have you ever had one with just you? What are you saying? Exercise your right of righteousness by quoting scripture to yourself. What I do sometimes, and I honestly do this, I'll just stand in front of the mirror. I said, I need to hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. So I said, Jesse, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If I be for you, who could be against you? If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, believe those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you said. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He went to Nadwe, he was brought up, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. There's delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened up the book and found the place where is written the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it to a minister and sat down. All the eyes of them in the synagogue were fastened upon him. He began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. All bearing witness and wonder that the gracious words were proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph? Son, no. This is God's son. See, if there's not something in you, it can't come out of you.
That's right.
So I exercise my righteousness by quoting scripture to me. I'm not just trying to show off, but I can do a lot more than that. Why? I know this. My Bible's all tore up. I put the books where I want them. I got to get a new Bible. I just love that old Bible. So how do you get your overflow? You exercise your right of righteousness by quoting scripture to yourself. Now, I said this the other day. I want to say this again. Write this down. Doubt arises from ignorance. You know, God said we can do all this stuff. Yeah, but no. See, that's arising. That doesn't mean you're ignorant. It's ignorance. Doubt arises from ignorance, and you're not ignorant. See, a lot of people think, oh, I must be ignorant. No. You may have ignorance, but you're not ignorant because you're created in the image of God, the express image of God. So, but doubt does arise from ignorance, and you're not ignorant. Determine that doubt is never going to be a part of your life. I just made up my mind doubt won't be a part of it. And I've got many opportunities to doubt. I'm believing God for some big things. I don't know why it's always big stuff. I said, why don't we just do something small? You know, you're looking at this preacher. I am a satisfied man. God is my way. I'm a happy man. John Hagee calls me the apostle of joy. I don't know if I'm an apostle, but I do have some joy. If you hang around me, you won't stay sad. I'll make you laugh at your mama's funeral. I ain't kidding. Glory to God. I don't try to do that, but you know, I made up my mind. Especially a godly funeral. Why would you be sad? They're going to heaven. You should miss them, but never grieve for them. Because Jesus took your grief and sorrow, so why do you have it? So, you know, a lot of times when things come, and right now I have many opportunities to doubt. I got a lot of things hitting me, and I say, boy, Lord. And you know what the Lord says? What does the word say about that? And sometimes that'll make you mad. I don't want to talk about what the word said about it. What does the word say about it? I saw the love of God in action last night. I'll tell you what, that'd have been Jesse. Mm-mm. I would say, come on, let's go to the back. I want to minister to you. Yeah. I'm going to give you one of my gifts. I'm going to make you an offer you don't refuse. I take care of this myself. I had to rebuke. Boy, anger was coming. I was getting hot. Oh, I was getting hot. The Lord said, calm down. Just said, okay, Jesus. Why? That's my friend. And a friend sticketh closer than a brother. I was just going, I said, we need some Louisiana ushers here right now. Nothing against the ushers. I'm just joking. You know? Oh! Well, let's go on, glory to God. It was tough. I bet it was tough on y'all too. Oh, I know. But you know, when Brother Copeland's talking, he's talking. And you can't cross that. But it'd have been me. I said, Kenneth, take a break. I was wrong. So I prayed. Then I said, Lord, I guess I was wrong. He said, no. Let me tell you what. He said, you know what you was feeling? I said, what, Lord? I was getting mad. He said, no, your righteous indignation was vexed. And ain't nothing wrong with the guy. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, just the devil. Just talking. But see, there's some powerful words come out. The devil don't want you to hear it, do anything. You ever notice when you're about ready to give an altar call? Are you a pastor? About ready to give an altar call? You notice that everything's quiet. Everybody listen. All of a sudden, a baby go, wah! And you go, just anything to take that focus off what you said. Isn't that amazing? So, doubt arises from ignorance, and you're not ignorant. Determine that doubt is never going to be a part of your life. So I made up my mind. I've convinced myself, whether I ever see it or not, that God can't lie. Then I realized something. He gave me a wonderful thing the other day. He said, you know, Jesse, he made me do something. And I said, well, Lord, I'm going to believe in my 30, 60, and 100 fold. You know what the Lord said? Jesse, I trust you enough to build something for the next generation. He said, you won't receive a harvest on this, but the next generation will. I went, wow. Wow, thank you, Lord. He said, a lot of times you need to realize that. So as you grow older in the Lord, as you develop yourself, that sometimes God, he loves you so much that he'll let you be the architect of building a revelation for the next generation. That they can stand on and walk in. Oh, God. Most people that have seen great success with God have not been perfect. But they have been faithful. Write that down. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Most people that have seen great success with God have not been perfect. People make mistakes. But they have been faithful. I find the faithful get the job done. You know, I had a man, I had to lift him up. He said, but I always wanted a big church. My God, he said, I just never been able to get over 100 people in my entire life. And I love God as much as you do. I said, yes, you do. I said, but you know, you've been a faithful man. Probably more faithful than me. I've preached to millions, billions by television. That's not there. I said, but you married their living and buried their dead. They call you daddy, papa, grandpa. I said, do you realize how great you are in the sight of God? Boy, tears are coming out of that. Do you understand that? I said, when we get to heaven, I said, you're going to be so far ahead of me. I'm going to be stuck in the back of the line. There you are. I'm telling you, you're going to be surprised when you get to heaven. You're going to have people up there named, who's that guy? His name is Harry Schwartz. What was that? Oh, he's pastored a church and stood on the word of God, married people's living, buried, that did everything he could. He was, you know, and everything went wrong in the community, called upon him, and he never had a big, big church. But my God, he was a faithful man, and his cup runneth over. I said, you see, you're looking at what you've done. I said, why don't you look at what God's done through you? I have a friend of mine. He's now in heaven years ago with tears in his eyes. I never forget it. Now, listen to this. Let me say it again. Most people that have seen great success with God have not been perfect, but they've been faithful. He wanted a big church. Most he ever had in his life was 250 people. Just. Boy, I mean, tears in his eyes. He was a great man. I preached for him for many years. Well, he passed away and went home to be with the Lord. And I remember him thinking, boy, he always wanted a big church. Now, this is in a small town in Arkansas. 10,000 people showed up at his funeral. Wow. You ain't never heard of him. Wow. He did have a great church. He had a huge church. But they were sent out from him. Ministers, people have come by, shut the town down. And his wife said, oh, I wish you could see this. I said, you know, I can't prove this true. But I believe the Lord probably said, hey, look over. Who are all them people? That's your church. That you thought was always small. That's something. I've never forgotten that. Most people that have seen great success with God have not been perfect, but they have been faithful. Now watch this. Write this down. I'm telling you, write this down because I want you to study this out. And some of you ministers could even preach on this. Overflow will help you regain ground if you stumble. Overflow is made up of tenacity and strength. Let me say it again. Overflow will help you regain ground if you stumble. Overflow is made up of tenacity and strength. In other words, you just don't quit. Now, you know where I got this point at? Not out of a book. I turned on the television not long ago, and it was the Preakness, one of the Triple Crown races. They have the Kentucky Derby, the Belmont, and the Preakness. And if you have a horse that wins those three, you got a super horse. I mean, that's something, you know, to win those three. I just happened to turn on. I said, ladies and gentlemen, you know, boom, the race takes off. And I'm just looking at it on television. Now, I don't watch horse racing, but I just saw it. And it was in HD. You know, so man, you could see the flare of the nostrils of the horses. You know, that HD was just written. I'm watching it. Boy, when they're coming around that, whatever they call it, what post, I don't know what the name of that. And all of a sudden, I saw the horse stumble. The horse is going down, stumble going down. And I saw the jockey going down. I thought, uh-oh. Now, something like that, because them horses are running 45 to 50 miles an hour. And you got, I mean, you're going to get killed. I saw that jockey sliding up and that horse going down. But they had the cameras close to him. And with HD, I mean, you could just almost count the hair on that horse's nose, man. I saw that horse go, pull himself. And I saw that jockey do the same thing. They were stumped. And there's no way you're going to win the race and wind up winning the race. I mean, did anybody see that on television? I don't know the name of the horse. You did, sir? You know what I'm talking about? I don't know the name of the horse or nothing like that. But I saw the jockey and I saw the horse going down. But you could see in that horse's eye, no, I've run too hard. I'm going to win this thing. They think I'm a loser. I ain't no loser. And that jockey said, I ain't going down neither. Both of us, both of them working together, began to pull and overflow came. Brother, they ran and outran everything and won the Preakness. Now, that was an amazing thing. Overflow will help you regain ground if you stumble. Overflow is made up of tenacity and strength. In other words, you'll have many opportunities to fail, and you may fail. You may be going down, but jerk yourself up, bless God, because Jesus is on your back, and he don't want to go down either. He'll pull you up, but that takes tenacity and strength. Oh, glory to God. Everything I've ever done didn't come easy. People think it came easy. It didn't come easy. It takes tenacity and strength. Believe in God for what I got to believe God for every day. Financially, Lord, gee, what I pay every month. Some people are never making a lifetime for television. I mean, it's constantly going on all the time, all the time, all the time. And it's for the kingdom of God. When really I could say, you know, I could just quit. You know, I mean, I've preached long enough. I preach more than most preachers have preached. They're in their 70s and I'm in my 50s. My point is, I'm not bragging on that. I said, Lord, but you know what? And even sometimes. Times I thought, oh man, I stumbled. Lord God, I don't know if my faith is starting to. And all of a sudden, Jesus, come on, boy. He jerked and I jerked. No, because anybody can fall. Anybody. I don't want a testimony that I repented over the adultery. I don't want to never commit adultery. I will not. I wouldn't have time to repent if I did. Kathy, shoot me in a second, man. Put me down. I know the Lord forgive me. I don't know about Kathy. I don't want to hear that. I don't want that. I'll never forget one time years ago, 1979, I was on TBN and I had an elderly gentleman sitting by me and they wanted to talk to me about my testimony because I was a rock musician, blah, blah, and all this kind of stuff. But this elderly gentleman was sitting by me and I was younger, 28 years old. I had brown hair, you know. Hey. And so they asked this gentleman first, well, what's your testimony? He said, well, I really don't have any. And it gets a little quiet when somebody says that. He said, I've been saved since I'm 5. I don't know nothing of sin. It hit me so hard. I said, that's the guy we need to talk to. You don't need to know about my past. Let's talk about his past. How did you go from 5 to your age and live for Jesus all that time and never struggle? I've been faithful to my wife, faithful to my church, faithful to my God. I said, the whole program ought to be on him. That's what everybody wants done anyway. Instead of, what did you do? Well, the Lord took me. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I tell you, I don't want you to misunderstand it. But my God, when he said that, I forgot what I did. They said, well, Jesse, what do you? I said, let's talk to him, man. God, I said, because you know, I'm probably going to live longer than him because he was in his 80s. I said, I want to do what he did. That's a good example. To be able to say at the end of my life, I'm a novice. This is the exact words they said. I'm a novice to sin. Wow. I'll never forget that statement. Now that's overflow. That's overflow. That's complete overflow. How many of you want overflow? You know how that man done that? He set his affection on things above and God honored him. That's such a blessing. So overflow is reaping the results of heavenly affection. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let me run over this again. The things on this earth are a blessing, but they shouldn't have your affection. What does that mean? You focus on the kingdom, automatically produces overflow on the earth. Godly overflow comes where Christ is present. Wherever Christ is, you, wherever Jesus is, there's no lack.
None
whatsoever. And of course, Luke 12, verse 31 says, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. So whatever you believe for, overflow will come. Overflow is about increasing the population of heaven and creating vacancies in hell. I enjoy that statement there. That just blesses me. Giving is the prescription for overflow. Overflow doesn't start until a seed is given. And the only reason 5,000 people ate a fish dinner that day is because the boy sowed a seed, Jesus sowed a seed, and everybody got a harvest. Glory to God. The reason people doubt is because they do not understand their righteousness. Why? Isaiah 3:10. Seek ye, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Overflow is the right of the righteous and the destiny of the faithful. I could preach an hour and a half right there on that statement. I have a right and a destiny if I'm faithful. Exercise your right of righteousness. How do you do that? By quoting scriptures to yourself. Doubt arises from ignorance, and you're not ignorant. Determine that doubt is never going to be a part of your life. I have made that a part of my life. And then, you know, I said, that's so easy to doubt. You know what makes a great athlete? What he does is hard. You know, but he makes it look easy. Boy, I mean, that Michael Jordan, he could travel. He was a superman, in my opinion. He could just start jumping at the end of the court and going to the other side. He's already got the ball in there. And you think, is he going to come down? Is he going to make it? Wham! And just slam dunk. Then you got Shaq O'Neal. Who would want to get in front of him? Every time he walk, he cover a mile. He got a foot as big as a loaf of bread. That's a big man, son. Who would want to try to block his shot? You got to be crazy. Barry Bonds? Who would want to pitch to that man? You crazy? Barry Bonds? Or Babe Ruth? Or Mickey Mantle? Oh, who would want to pitch to those guys? Or Roger Maris? Look, do you realize? Why? Because what they did was very hard, but they made it look very simple. Mark Spitz, when he won all them gold medals in the Olympics, I mean, my Lord, he could open up a jewelry store just with the medals. They just hitting it. Oh, why? Watch this. Most people that have seen great success with God have not been perfect. And none of those guys have. But they've been faithful. See, they've been faithful to what God called them to do, to be a runner, whatever, you know. Remember that girl that passed away years ago? I don't know her name. Flojo, I think it was her name. And she had she had all kind of really fashionable costume. One leg with nothing on it, the other one with something on it, looked like Batgirl or something. You know, she'd come out there. She taught running. Veins coming out in there. And right before she get to the finish line, she starts smiling. The camera, she's going, I got this, baby. Everybody behind me, son. Woo! Boy, that was excellent. But that took great dedication, commitment, and discipline to do it. So, but what happens when you stumble? You get up and go again. You just get up and go again. And you can see that in boxing. Man, I've seen guys, you know, then sometimes the rematch is much better than the original fight. Why? Overflow will help you regain ground if you stumble. Overflow is made up of tenacity and strength. I never forget George Foreman. He was talking when the Thriller in Manila, when he was fighting Muhammad Ali. And man, George Foreman, when he was young, was a bull. I mean, a bull. I mean, that man hit you, his fist as big as both your knees together. Man, would crush your head, you understand? And man, Muhammad Ali had a strategy called the rope-a-dope. How many of y'all remember that? Boy, I tell you what, I'm a boxing fan. I like it. And boy, he just come in and boom. I mean, here come these haymakers. Bam, bam. And you could see Muhammad's body go, come on. But, you know, and then Muhammad just stick and rub his head, make him mad. You know, boom, boom. Just make him mad. Just keep swinging. Woo, woo. You can feel the wind. Woo. You know, George Foreman, one bad boy, you know. I mean, just hit. But he knew he was getting tired. Finally, he started talking to him. He said, George Foreman, I heard him say that. He said, I was hitting him with everything I got. And Muhammad said, that's all you got, George. That's all you got. And George said, yeah. That's all I got. Then you see him do this. Muhammad Ali beat him psychologically. I think Evander Holyfield did the same thing with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson never was pushed around. He just, you know. Bam. But Evander grabbed him, push him back. What's your problem? Made him hungry. He got hungry. Woo! Woo! He got hungry. He just kept pushing it. He wasn't really hitting him that hard. Just pushing, just intimidating him. Why don't you intimidate the devil? See, because the devil can come at you like this. He come over with them haymakers. Say, that's all you got, devil. He going to say, yeah. Why? Because greater is he was in you than he was in the world. Glory to God. That's overflow. That's overflow. But you set your affection on things above. And then you know what? You're going to get all the stuff below. Now, I'm going to deal with maybe in my next session, if the Lord let me, on this scripture that it's better to obey than to sacrifice. The reason why most people know that verse, let me give you a little hint. They've been sacrificing more than they're obeying. Do you know you can sacrifice? Think you're doing something for God and you're in total disobedience. You're elevating a curse instead of elevating a blessing with sacrifice. And destroy a lot of people and stop the gospel from being preached to the world. I may deal with that when I preach my night session. Boy, I tell you, y'all enjoying this overflow series? Yeah. Hallelujah. Over there. Overflow. And when you understand that, it's not the overflow month. It's not the overflow day. It's the overflow year. I expect overflow. Now, that doesn't mean I got up this morning and had some bad news from New Orleans. I mean, the lawyer's on the line calling Kathy. That's why she's not here. We got to work some things out. We didn't do anything wrong. We just got to work some things out. Got to deal with the government. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we're going to deal with them. You want to go to war? You want to go to war with me? We're going to war. Glory to God. And the Lord spoke to him about it. He said, you know, David had to go to war. Sometimes you got to go to war. Sometimes you got to do right because it is right to do. You got to make a stand, make a precedent. You have to do whatever. Glory to God. And the way this government's run, I mean, I love my country, but I don't like the government too much. I don't say that worldwide. Some of the government doing are not right, but I love this country. But some of this government stuff is crazy. Like, I'm gonna take your property. Huh? Huh? Just because some developer can go explain to someone in that city that, you know, if you let me build this, you know, y'all can make more money on taxes and stuff like that. And all of a sudden you've worked all your life and they just come in and call, what's it called? Eminent domain. And you just come and take your property. You know, I mean, I think we got too many old people making decisions. Let me get a little political. I think we got too many old people making decisions. If you got to help somebody, if somebody got to help you walk to get there, you might want to resign. Y'all agree with me? Because this is where the power is. Because we the government, we the people of the United States, in order to perform a more perfect union, establish justice, tranquility, provide for the common defense, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Overflow. Overflow. But I know it's the last days. So there's a little hindrances. But they won't stop you. You pastors, you'll grow more this year. Oh, so about Sahar. He says, prophesy. You'll grow more this year than you've ever grown. Amen. This year is a year of great growth. And from that will come. Whoo, you just better get ready. You better start looking around. You better start looking and believing for the impossible. Amen. Remember, if you see something you can do, it ain't God.
That's right.
You can do that by good old hard work. Go look for something you can't do. And then give God a job. Get him off the unemployment line. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. And let God go to work. That's overflow. And you do that by setting your affection on things above. And like I preached the other day about expecting great things. I am expecting great things. Not only for me, but for my partners. Oh yeah, because I don't want to be blessed. My partner not blessed. That's like me. I don't want me and Kathy to be blessed without my daughter and my son-in-law blessed. I don't want us to be blessed if Covenant Church, our home church, is not blessed. I don't think that would be fair. That's just the way I think. I had a man the other day. I'll say this in close. I went to Wendy's. You know, I like cholesterol. I know I shouldn't, but I like it. Makes Marty mad when I talk about that shit. I do. Fried chicken, Lord Jesus. I mean, if the rapture come, I'd grab a bucket and go up with it. I just like fried chicken. I know I shouldn't eat that. I just like fried chicken, Lord. I done forgot what I was going to say. Maybe the Lord didn't want me to say it. Glory to God. What was I saying? Y'all remember what I said about the chicken? Wendy's. Yeah, Wendy's. So I go into Wendy's. I sit down. Me and Kathy sit down. Now, you know, Wendy's is kind of small. You know, they got them little tables. All of a sudden, I said, I hear this person behind me. I don't know. Mama, guess who's sitting behind me? And she must have said, who? Jesse the Plants. Then I heard her say, you lying. He don't eat at no Wendy's. He said, no, mama, no, I'm saying, he's eating at Wendy's. You lying. So I turned around and said, give me the phone. He goes, I said, what's wrong with Wendy's?
Oh, Brother Jesse!
What's wrong with eating a hamburger? I know I can afford to go to a big restaurant, and I did. I just want that. When did y'all to help me out? Y'all to be a part of my man. I'm giving you a shot here today. Glory to God. I mean, you know, but my point is, I just enjoyed it. I just enjoyed it. I had one man say, boy, maybe you ought not go there. People might think you broke. Eating a hamburger makes you think you broke? I'll say this. Me and Kathy are blessed. We can go anywhere we want, do anything we want to do, but we're not stupid. I've been in some of the finest hotels in the world on vacation. I'm talking nice, okay? We're going on vacation. I'm talking nice here. And you know how you got them Cokes and candy and all that kind of stuff in the hotel? Kathy opened up that thing and it said, Coke, $5. She said, no! I ain't paying no $5 for that Coke. I come walking in the room. I said, what? She said, they want $5 for that Coke. Jesse, go to that store and get me a six-pack of Coke. I said, I ain't going down there. She said, yeah, you are. I said, okay. So I went to the store. Got a six-pack of Coke. I mean, I can buy the Coke. It's not this. It's the principle. It's the principle of it. I'm walking through this fine lobby with a sack of groceries. A six-pack of Coke and some kiwis. Because them kiwis are $3 a bag over there. You can get them for 49 cents. I'm going, God, man, I'm in bed. I hope people don't recognize me. I heard them. I said, Brad Jesse. I just kept going, Brad Jesse, yeah. Brad Jesse, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, I can't be rude. I turned around, and he had two bags. I'll tell you where it was. It was at the Grand Wailea in Maui, Hawaii. Oh, this place is beautiful. I said, what are you doing? He said, my wife told me, you ain't spending $5 on Coke. I said, you my friend. Come on, bud. Yeah, we can do it. That's not the issue. And I ain't looking for a preacher discount, but it's called principle. See, I had overflow when I went to that 7-Eleven. I thought about, you know, I'm a pretty good businessman. I'm in a lot of business. I thought, man, I ought to open me up a little place right here and say, the Coke is $5 in the hotel. But I'll give it to you $1.50. You know, I couldn't get over. I said, I can't believe I'm walking through this hotel. But I did what Kathy said. How many of y'all would have done the same thing? Stand up. I want to see you. Pan the crowd. Look at all these people. They ain't spending no $5 on a Coke. You may be seated. Glory to God. Did you enjoy it this morning? Come on, give the Lord a big God bless you.